Before we do pray tonight, there are a few verses I'd like you to look with me at, if you would. We can quote a lot of them from Hebrews. Jesus responds to faith, and I think we all know that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you come to Him, you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we realize that throughout the Bible, there are different admonitions connected to faith and prayer, or the lack of faith when we pray. Does anybody know one that talks about the lack of faith? If we ask and we are, what does it say? What does James tell us? Yep. Yeah, but both of you are right. James talks about if you pray and you are double-minded or you don't have faith when you ask, don't let that man think, what does it say then? That you could get anything. So that really, you know, throws the ball back in my lap. If I'm going to pray tonight, if I'm coming to prayer meeting to pray, but I'm not going to pray in faith, then I'm not going to get anything. According to the Bible. Now, you may have a different theology or doctrine, but the Bible says, James says, Jesus says, it's in Matthew, Jesus said. If you do have faith, though, as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Doubting nothing. Now, faith is a grain of mustard seed. We gave out to the men in the church a few years ago, keychains. And the keychain had a grain of mustard seed in there somewhere. I could only see the thing. It's small. It's not very much. I guess that's the point. Maybe that was the point that Jesus was trying to get across. Maybe he was speaking to people that had seen a lot of mustard seeds and knew what the grains of mustard seeds looked like. And maybe they realized when he said it, that's not much. We don't have to have much. But we do have to have something. We have to have something that latches hold upon God. And so, although it might not be a whole lot, we have some faith in God. You remember the man that said, Lord, I do believe, but there's some unbelief there. You got to get rid of that. That's another way. Maybe we need to pray that sometimes ourselves. Lord, okay, I doubt. I know I do. I mean, it's like for me, it's not a prayer. It's wishful thinking. But Lord, you want to take it to another level. You want to put faith into my heart. Well, you can't work that up. You can't muster up faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, by reading the Word of God. We can encourage one another by what we hear and say and testimony. It was encouraging this morning to hear Sister Naomi get up and talk about praying for her grandfather for 35 years and now hearing last night that he's open. Not yet given himself to the Lord, but he's open. Now that should encourage somebody who's been praying for somebody if you haven't quit yet. If you've continued now and you're in your 35th year, maybe you are encouraged by that testimony. So, okay, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Now, I know that family and I know that man and I've met him a number of times. And I know how, not antagonistic, but closed he had been to the gospel. But thank God where there's an openness, that's an answer to prayer. Because we are convinced, are we not, that God does answer prayer. That's where we're going to pray later on and believe that when we pray that God is going to answer. Now, in the Bible, there are so many different ways to pray. There are so many different books written about prayer, and there's so much to be said about it. However, there are differences in prayer times. There are times when you get alone with God in your closet and you shut the door. And God sees you in secret. And you need to have a time like that. We need to have times like that. We need to spend time alone with God. In the secret place. There in the spirit, beholding his face, gaining new power to run in the race. The songwriter said, I long to be shut in with God. And we need to find places like that. It could be your room. It could be your closet. It could be wherever. It could be Pilgrim Camp in the prayer room. It could be, but your own place where you and God get alone and you talk or you wait or you just think and let Him work in your life and in your heart and draw you. That's prayer. That's prayer. Praise is a type of prayer also. But you know, when we come together in corporate prayer, in a community of believers, it's good to be able to pray with your voice. It's not the quiet, secret place. Now, again, there are times when we come to prayer meeting and we sit. And in our church, we come on Monday night, and oftentimes an hour we're just in silence, waiting before God. But when we come tonight to a meeting like this, staff prayer, which is guest staff prayer, it's good to pray, to lead out in prayer. Because as you let your requests be made known to God, we can join our faith together. We can agree together. And the Bible gives us precedent for united prayer, corporate prayer. If you have your Bible and would open it with me for just a moment to Mark chapter 2. A story that we all know, and maybe you can help me with the theology in Mark chapter 2. Familiar story, and as I start to read it, a lot of you will know where we're going with this. But look at some of the other details, maybe tonight, that we sometimes don't emphasize or think about. Mark 2, let's see, beginning of the chapter, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and they, after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins be forgiven." And some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, if you just think for a moment about what happened, we admire these four men because they would not be dissuaded. They had an object in mind, and that was to get their friend who was sick and didn't walk and was in pain. They wanted to get him to Jesus. So they rip open the roof and they lower him down. And yet when you read about what Jesus did, well, let me ask you, what did he do first of all? Well, simultaneously, what did Jesus do for this man? Okay. He forgave the man's sin. Is that what he did? That's what he says he did. And it said it three times. The redundancy is kind of interesting. Jesus forgave the man's sin. Now, why did he forgive the man's sin? Well, because if we confess our sins, he's faithful. And just did the man confess his sins? We don't read that. If he did, we don't know about it. Why did Jesus forgive the man's sins? It says it. Because of whose faith? Oh, wait a minute now. Now we're into like deep water. My prayer can forgive somebody else's sin? I don't think so. Yeah. But what I think we can do, well, the expression that I've heard growing up is you pray people into the kingdom of God. Did you ever hear that before? You pray somebody into the kingdom of God. You get that person to the place where Jesus can do his work in that heart, in that life, in that body. You see, as we pray, we can intercede. We can intercede on behalf of others for a myriad of different reasons, but number one, and the most important thing for anybody, is not that they get healed of their paralysis, is not that they get healed of their cancer, is not that they get a better job, it's not that they find a bigger house, or even not that they get married. The most important thing in a person's life is, are your sins forgiven? Yes. Yes. Have you found Jesus Christ? Do you know him? And you and I, and I've heard it at camp already while I've been here, and I'll continue to hear it wherever I go, I'm sure, because we've learned that we can pray for souls. We can pray for people. I don't know that this man had any faith. He was lying there on the mat. I don't know if he knew what he was doing and where he was going. It doesn't say, but it does clearly point out to us in the inspired scripture that Jesus responded to the faith of four men that carried their friend to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a couple friends. And maybe you know some people, too, that you want to carry to Jesus. And these four can unite, and so we four can unite, and we can believe together that Jesus can save that person. Now, I don't think it would be beneficial for all of us to name everybody that we know, because half of the people, I can name 150 people, and that wouldn't do you much good, and I'd lose you about 5 seconds into my prayer. I'd start naming all my friends and all this one and that one, and you don't know. But there are those who have come through Pilgrim Camp, perhaps. There are those who may be here on the grounds of Pilgrim Camp now, tonight. I don't think yet every boy back there in that village or Nonanta Monadic are saved. They need to find Jesus. They need to find Jesus. I don't know their names. But one thing that we want to do tonight is we want to bring them to Jesus. We don't know their names. We don't have to. Jesus knows who they are. I was in a prayer meeting right here in this room. It was one of those maybe not so beneficial prayer meeting times when somebody knew that the kids were coming up to camp. And so he prayed. And it took a long time for him to pray. He said, Lord, I pray for child number one that's going to sit in this seat. And I pray for child number two that's going to sit in that seat. And I pray for child. And there were 72 kids coming to camp. And we prayed in that meeting for all 72 of them. Well, that's good to do. And there could be faith in that. But maybe we could pray, Lord, every one of those boys. And maybe there's somebody that you know by name that's there that we need to pray for. Brother John Comar was here. You remember the man with the beard? And he went back to, well, he's back in Arizona tonight. But he was here at camp for a little while. And right before he left, he talked to me about his grandson, who now lives with him, who's had an unfortunate experience after an unfortunate experience in his life. And he's not following the Lord. And he lives with Brother John. And he told Brother John just before John came to camp, if you ever pass away and die, I'm going to kill myself. There's nobody else. John said to me, pray that I live a long time. Well, I said, John, we can pray something better than that. That's good. I agree with that prayer. But we can pray that this young man finds Jesus and gives his heart to the Lord. Now, those are the kinds of requests. You and I can bring your children, our loved ones. We can bring them to Jesus. Do I care enough about those souls? I hope I do. I hope we can have enough faith together tonight that Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy. Your sins be forgiven. And then, they, of course, it got these other Pharisees a little bothered by that. What does he think he is? And who does he think he is? Well, he's Jesus, the Son of God. He has the authority to do that, but they didn't believe that or know that. Who can forgive sins but God? Exactly. That's why he's doing what he's doing. But they didn't understand or know that either. And Jesus said, well, what's easier for me to say? Apparently this guy had, maybe there's a correlation between sin and the sickness in this particular case, not every particular case. But what's easy for me to say? Sins be forgiven or take up your bed and walk? We can pray and ask the Lord to heal those that are sick. We can unite our faith, agree concerning these requests. And I'm thankful that God hears, and not only in the realm of those that are not saved and following the Lord or those that are not well in body, but there are many other requests. And we're not going to have time to carry everything to God in prayer, but we will have time to unite and carry requests or some petitions to the throne of grace tonight. And in your prayer counts. Your uniting with everyone else counts. Because where there's unbelief or lack of faith, you don't get far, as James says. And Jesus couldn't even do a lot in one community in town he went. He couldn't heal people. Not he wouldn't and didn't want to, but he could not do many mighty works because of the unbelief. So I can be a real detriment to united faith. I can be detrimental to the atmosphere where Jesus is wanting to do his work, would have been doing his work. But because I'm there not believing, I'm not just not doing anything and benign, but I'm hindering the work of God, hindering the blessing that he wants to have flow, hindering perhaps the salvation of a soul or the healing of a body. Do I have that much? Yeah, you kind of do. So Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to have faith. And when somebody tonight prays, when these staff members lead out in prayer, we're all going to unite. We're going to pray along with them. When the guests lead out in prayer, or whoever it might be, it doesn't take the preacher or this one or that one, but all of us together as the body of Christ in Rhoda's house. Do you remember who Rhoda was? And you remember what was going on in her house? A bunch of guys and girls came together that night. I don't know who they all were, but they got into that house and they were praying. They were praying corporately and uniting because there was a specific need. Do you know what the need was? Acts 12. Peter? He was in jail. And, well, they were kind of afraid that they were going to do him in. Because they had taken James and they had arrested him and they had killed James. So they weren't playing around. And they arrested Peter and he's now in jail and who knows? But you read there in Acts chapter 12, there is a direct correlation between those people in that house praying for Peter and Peter sitting there in jail with the doors opening up and angels leading him out. It wouldn't have happened if you read it in Acts chapter 12. It wouldn't have happened had it not been for a group of people gathered together off-site, off-campus. They couldn't get to where Peter was. But God could. And the Holy Spirit can. And so as they united their faith together in that house, and if you look at the story, I don't know how much faith they really had. Because when Peter stood outside the door and knocked, and the lady came and looked out, and she went back in and said, Peter's out there. They couldn't believe it. It must be his ghost. I would have an easier time believing it was Peter than believing it was his ghost. But they couldn't believe that. Now, they maybe were thinking, and maybe their prayers were kind of, Lord, help him in the trial to have a good attorney so that the attorney presents the case in such a way, or help judge whoever it was to be the one sitting on the bench. Lord, help us to be able to get our venue changed so we can have the trial down in a more favorable place. I don't know what they were praying. They're probably giving God a lot of good ideas. And God said, I got a better one. I got an angel going down there, and everything's going to fall off, and doors are going to fly open. And I know it's a little bit not unusual, and it's not the way you thought. But God can, in your prayer and through my prayer and our united prayer, do something unusual. And that's the whole idea behind prayer. You know, I don't have to pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, that there be breakfast or lunch tomorrow. I pray that the water in the lake will be wet. Lord, please hear my cry. Oh, thank you, Lord, you answered. You don't have to pray that kind of stuff. That's just going to happen. Lord, I pray that my bed will hold me tonight. It'll hold you. Don't worry about it unless you ate too much or whatever. But, Lord, but stretch your faith a little bit to pray for the impossible. And to the faith that claims his fullness, still will give as much. It can be for souls. It can be for bodies. Lord, you've given me a promise about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. And I prayed, and I don't know what's going on. And well, then pray some more. Pray until, I think it's in one of these readings, I read your staff devotional. By the way, if you didn't get a staff devotional, it's also a guest devotional. So you can pick one up as you go out either door. And I think most of you have them. But one of the readings in this book, talk about that. About asking largely and expecting a large answer to the petitions that we bring before God. Now, just before we go to prayer, and we'll have time to. But just before we go to prayer, I'd also like you to turn with me to 2 Kings. Just a little short story that I thought of in connection with our praying. Because one of maybe my greatest obstacles, so maybe that's why I'm thinking it might be yours, to praying in faith is what we see. And sometimes we see something. We see a situation, we see a life lived wrong, and we stagger because it's a little bit overwhelming. This one is a little bit too hard. This case is, well, he's too sick, or they're too far gone. They not only do drugs and alcohol, but they got this going on too. They too far gone. Or we see a situation that we can't meet that need. It could be just a circumstance or something in our lives. And we see, unfortunately, well, fortunately, we can see what's seen. But unfortunately, we don't see what's unseen. You understand what I mean? We need to be able to see what's not readily seen. And to that end, we need to say, Lord, anoint my eyes with eye salve so that I can see. The year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw, and he saw for the first time, being a prophet for I don't know how long, but he saw for the first time, I saw the Lord. And when I saw the Lord, it just changed everything in his life. We talked a little bit about David last night. David never, any place that you read, not just in 1 Samuel 17 when he confronted Goliath, but whenever any mention of David or Goliath, David never entertained the thought that Goliath was a giant. I don't think David knew it. I mean, he knew it, but he didn't think about it. See, we go out into the battle, if we were David, and we would see ourselves as little kids, and we would see David as, or Goliath as 9 feet, 9 inches, or whatever he was. And we would see what there is to see. The only thing David ever called Goliath is an uncircumcised Philistine. As far as David was concerned, that's what he was. Saul, Oh, no, you can't go out to him. He's a warrior and he's a giant and he's been fighting battles since he's been knee-high to or whatever. And you can't do that. Look at how big he is. And all the armies of Saul, all the Israelite soldiers, all David's bigger brothers are standing there and their knees are knocking. And they're cowering in fear. And when Goliath goes down in the valley, fee-fi-fo-fum, or whatever he said, and he stands down there and he starts to yell. They're just standing there. Look at him. And David goes there and he's just a little kid. And he's got no armor. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Not who is this big giant that I'm looking at. Who is this uncircumcised? You know, circumcision was a mark that I belong to God. And this guy doesn't belong to God. And so David was quoting the Apostle Paul, if God be for us, who in the world is this guy? I don't care how big he is. Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit in them. When they went to spy out the land, 10 of the spies saw the giants. We can't do this. Oh, no, we can't do this. Try to pray with that attitude. Try to pray after just seeing, pray in faith, believing. Oh, Lord, you know how big they are, and you know how little we are, and you know how we can't do anything, and you know how we're here, and you know, Lord, how, well, you know what? You know how big God is? Well, no, how big they are. And we see what there is to see, and we don't see the unseen. One of the secrets of the Apostle Paul's life and ministry is he had the ability to see that which was not seen. He didn't see the temporal. He saw the eternal. He didn't see the natural. He saw the supernatural. And here in 2 Kings, it's chapter 6 and verse 17, the prophet Elisha, he sees things that his servant doesn't. You read, let me begin in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, speaking to Elisha, what are we going to do? The servant asked. And he evidently had a lot of fear because Elisha says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about what you're looking at, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. How do you figure that? I'm counting them. That's another one of your problems. You're counting them all, no less. You're not only seeing them, but I go, look at them all. Look at them all. Stop looking at them all. Stop enumerating them all. Stop looking at how big they are. These weren't giants, I don't think, but stop it. Start looking where you're supposed to look. I will look unto the hills, David said. What? Why are you looking to the hills? From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. So though an host should encamp around me, Psalm 27, I'm not going to be afraid. God is in the midst of her, Psalm 46. God's going to help her in that right early. Do you think David had occasion to fear? Do you think that Elisha had occasion to fear? Well, if you're only seeing what there is to see, yes, you have an occasion to fear. But Lord, by the Holy Spirit, help us to see. Help us to see the greatness, the mighty God that we serve, the one that we pray to who is omnipotent, omniscient. He knows the way. He is the way. He has all power in heaven and on earth. And I have the privilege to boldly come before the throne of grace that I might find mercy to help and grace to help in my time of need. And so Elisha said, Lord, my poor friend over here, another good prayer to pray. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. He's a good man. He really means well. He really wants to be on the winning side and victorious. But, Lord, he doesn't see. Help him to see what's not seen with the natural eye. And And the Lord heard that prayer. And the Lord opened the eyes and he saw, yes, he still saw what he saw, but he saw chariots and the hosts of God. And he saw that there were more with us than against us. Do you see that there are more with you than against you? Because there are. More with you than against you. Oh, but the whole world and the flesh and the devil's big and the devil's strong. You're looking at the wrong thing. Get your eyes up to the hills. See the invisible. And you won't be cowering in fear. But you'll be shouting the victory on the right side, the wrong right side, before the battle's won, before it's ever finished, because God, you're the victor. And sure enough, the rest of the story is kind of interesting also, but we won't go there at all tonight. But before we, as we go to prayer, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to unite in faith and to pray in faith and to believe you as we pray. And Lord, help us to see, oh God, anoint our eyes. Lord, we don't come to a little God, a puny God, a God who's about not quite equal to this. Lord, you're up to the task. You're strong and mighty, and you long to show yourself strong and mighty on behalf of those who put their trust, their faith in you. And so, Lord, help us to be those men and women tonight. Lord, we have 30 minutes. But, Lord, we believe that in these 30 minutes of united prayer, you can save souls, you can heal bodies, you can change the course of lives, our lives, other lives. And so, Jesus, we pray tonight, give us a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Lord, we need an empowering in our lives that we might be able to pray. We need a new infilling of the Holy Spirit so that we can pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Lord, maybe that has more to do with my sight than anything else. Teach me to pray.